This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Washington, D.C. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and Adam here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. You're listening to D.C. Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with that free Odyssey app. This is the only week in the sports calendar where literally every sport is being played. The NBA basketball season is underway, right? Washington Wizards, I'll tell you what to watch for this season. All right, we'll break that down later on. It's going to be all about the rookies, the rookie report this year. Hockey and the Caps off to a hot start. You got to love that. The NFL, and of course, we will talk about Jaden Daniels, and obviously his health is the most important thing today that we're all going to be talking about. College football action off to a hot start. I mean, man, there's so many good games this year, especially with this being the inaugural 12-team college football playoffs. There are so many teams that still believe they could make the case for why they should be included in the 12-team college football playoffs. College basketball exhibitions are being played with the season openers next week and the World Series in baseball. October baseball almost always delivers, and this is the second season that I'd argue, every time baseball plays, the regular season just feels to drag on and on and on. Then you get the postseason, and it's a different season. It's the second season, and it becomes must-watch TV, right? That's when your team is included. And for me, that's been my issue. Sometimes I find it hard to watch postseason baseball when the Nats are so bad during the regular season. But I'm so glad that I watched the World Series last night because that was incredible. I mean, we knew this matchup was highly anticipated. These two franchises used to face off in the Fall Classic often, right? Go back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But this was the first matchup since 1981 between the Dodgers and the Yankees, with all of the most iconic, recognizable names in baseball right now seemingly on both of these two teams. And I actually think this is actually what baseball needed. This series was perfect for baseball. Baseball needed this, and game one fully delivered, right? I mean, two franchises, they're all in, spending loads of money, big names, right? Big names, iconic moment to remember already. This is huge for baseball. Game two, we'll take on college football. Game three, Monday Night Football. But game one, fully delivered for the 2024 World Series. All the drama. I mean, you had the huge hit there. Just so awesome. And so, obviously, that's where we wanted to start today. It's all over my social media. It was all over my group chat with my friends. I was watching last night with my buddy Kevin, as it was just a really good back-and-forth baseball game. And obviously, we wanted to start with letting people take a listen to the swing of Freddie Freeman. Let's take a listen to the call. Game series, World Series game one.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Gibby, meet Freddie! Game one of the World Series!
Such a cool moment there. Freddie Freeman's grand slam walks it off in the 10th inning, down 3-2, one swing of the bat, and it's 6-3. Dodgers is your final in the 10th inning. And look, CBS Sports, they're already saying, is this the greatest World Series game one ever of all time? With Freddie Freeman's jaw-dropping end to an epic Dodgers-Yankees opener. That is the first walk-off grand slam in World Series history happened last night on a Friday night. And I ask you the same question right now, 1-800-636-1067. Was that the greatest game one of a World Series ever, right? I mean, let's go through it. So you had this two starting pitchers there, Jack Flaherty and Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was terrific. Flaherty was not bad either. Both had zeros on the board against loaded offenses for 4.5 innings, right? Dodgers get a run, and then Giancarlo Stanton steps up and just clobbered a baseball. Two-run homer to give the Yankees the lead there in the top of the sixth inning. And that's why I thought that was enough to put the Yankees on top there, but it was just a one-run lead. It gets tied there in the eighth. You go to the 10th inning, and here's why you'd argue that the 10th inning was so iconic, right? So the Yankees go up 3-2, and then they bring in Nestor Cortes, who hadn't pitched in the playoffs with an injury. He's able to somehow get Ohtani out with an unbelievable play by Alex Verdugo, and then you walk Mookie Betts, and in comes Freddie Freeman. And Freddie Freeman was like hobbled before this game in warm-ups here and has not hit a home run since September 16th and didn't even have an extra base hit in the playoffs before his triple in the first inning in this one with that injured ankle. And so just one swing of the bat in the 10th, and just like that, from down 3-2, it's 6-3. Just an iconic play there. And obviously, Freddie Freeman, we remember him from his time with the Atlanta Braves destroying our Washington Nationals, but just one of the best hitters in baseball, and really a great guy too. I mean, everybody that talks to him has loved him, and I wanted to play this post-game interview with Ken Rosenthal and Freddie Freeman.
Freddie, grand slam, walk-off in a World Series game.
Yeah.
Where does that moment rank for you?
Oh, I don't know. Ken, that's that stuff, you are 5 years old in the backyard right there, and that's a dream come true, but that's only one. We got three more.
Going up to the plate against Cortes, what's on your mind? First pitch.
As he gets the ice bath dumped on him.
I like that. Oh, I'm just trying to be on time for the heater. It's all you can try and do, be on the heater closer to you. Try and push, leave the cutter and slider away, and I was on time for the heater.
Now, it was nice you didn't have to run hard. How was your ankle? You legged out a triple earlier in the game.
Yeah, I actually felt pretty good. The last 6 days, we treated it really well. I've been feeling pretty good. So right when I ran out to give high fives tonight to my teammates, I felt pretty good because that was the first time I ran all week. So ankle's good.
You ran over to your dad after hitting that home run.
Yeah.
What did you say to him?
I was just screaming in his face. I'm sorry, Dad. He's been there since I was a little boy, throwing batting practice to me every day. So this isn't my moment. That's my dad's moment.
It's been such a tough year.
It was that part that really made me tear up, Max. I mean, just unbelievable there. Freddie Freeman talking about his dad used to throw him pitches all the time growing up, and you know, that was his moment there. And just, man, I felt so good for Freddie Freeman. And this is a series where I'm actually rooting for the Yankees here. I'm rooting for Juan Soto. I mean, think about the iconic franchises with New York going all in to get Aaron Judge matched with Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo already won a World Series, and Juan Soto. L.A. has Freeman, Mookie Betts, Ohtani. Gerrit Cole pitches a gem. It doesn't matter because L.A. did just enough to tie it up there. Then you get the first ever World Series walk-off grand slam. Can New York respond from that kind of heartbreaking loss there? It's going to be interesting to find out. I find myself rooting for the Yankees in this series because when I was a kid, I fell in love with Derek Jeter when I first started watching baseball. And this team here kind of reminds me of the Pinstripes from back in the day. And I know people have made a whole thing about how they've brought back the neck sweaters, right, and how they've started to do things that are sort of like that old Yankees team, and I just think it's kind of cool. It reminds me of my childhood, so I am rooting for the Yankees in this one. I think it'd be cool for Juan Soto to get a second World Series ring, and obviously, you know, New York versus L.A. is going to make everybody around the country interested, including people in the Midwest. And this, I think you could say that was the greatest World Series game one of all time. I mean, just an unbelievable game last night. I mean, obviously, last year had a really good game one of the World Series, tying it in the eighth and then winning it, I believe, in the ninth or in the tenth there. But just unbelievable action last night. And if you're just tuning in right now, it was Freddie Freeman's walk-off grand slam to give the Dodgers a 6-3 win in game one of the World Series over the Yankees late last night. That was just, man, that was really cool television. I got goosebumps watching that grand slam there. I got goosebumps watching the replays on social media. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We're simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. It's AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. We've got a couple of guests today. David Harrison covers the Commanders for Sports Illustrated. Linnell Willingham from the Team 980 and Overtime here on The Fan will join us at 11. We'll preview Commanders versus the Bears. It's going to be a good game whether or not Jaden Daniels plays. It's going to be a good game. We'll go behind enemy lines with Lauren Cox, and I'll give you our keys to victory after that with our pathway to success. But I woke up with some takes this morning I wanted to get off my chest. We start with that World Series. Unbelievable game last night. CBS is arguing it's the best game one of the World Series of all time. Okay, I'll bite. I mean, I thought it was an iconic moment. Obviously, I've only seen about 25 World Series game ones, but that's fine. Max, did you want to talk to me through my ear here? I don't know what's going on. Oh, we're only here till 10 a.m. today. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. That is 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. So nobody wanted to call into the World Series, so I wanted to get into something that's bugging me right now about the NBA. All right, so my favorite sport growing up was basketball, and watching the NBA was my favorite thing to do. And my dad took me to a Wizards game when Michael Jordan was on the Wizards. I fell in love. I mean, just obsessed with the Washington Wizards. And then, obviously, being an NBA fan, I started watching the Lakers and the Celtics and the best franchise, and it's always been fun. And then Steph Curry came in and shot from the logo. Fine, wasn't for me. I didn't enjoy it, but it worked, right? Now everyone does it. And I think the product has suffered. And teams are playing younger guys over veterans because they're trying to see what their future is. Here's my biggest issue. Here's my biggest issue with the NBA right now. There are too many playoff teams. There are too many playoff teams, right? Why is nobody talking about this right now? The NBA, when COVID happened, expanded the field from 16 to 20, right? They went from 8 in the East, 8 in the West to saying, all right, the 9th and 10th team, we're going to do this play-in tournament. Oh, we're going to do this play-in tournament. It's going to be great. It was cute for a year when it was COVID happening or a year after that. It's not worth it in my mind. Here's what I think. I think 12 teams making the playoffs devalues the regular season. Oh, but you got the play-in tournament at the end of the season and you got the in-season tournament. I could not care less. I could not care less about you changing the courts. Oh, well, it makes the playoffs longer. Yeah, the playoffs go on too long now because there's too many teams in it. It's not more intense. It's really not. And so the regular season began on Tuesday this week, and then there were games Wednesday, Thursday, obviously Friday, and there'll be games today. And part of my judgment is that is because the Wizards suck, I'm not really interested in watching their games. I'm not really interested in watching the TNT games. And then it's the last season inside the NBA, so I'll be checking on all that. But then I'm not really staying up for a late game if it's going to be a blowout. Feels like there's a lot of blowouts. Why are there so many blowouts? I'll tell you the answer why there's so many blowouts in the NBA. It's because 20 teams make the playoffs. I would make the case that about 12 teams are trying to tank right now. About 12 teams are trying to tank. They're trying to capture the flag. They're trying to pull the ace out of their sleeve and grab Ace Bailey or Cooper Flagg in next year's NBA draft. So 10 teams make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. There's going to be at least one team in the East and at least one team in the West that don't want to be in the playoffs. They don't want to be in the postseason. They were tanking, and yet they just acquired too many wins because the season goes on, and you can't lose on purpose because the players are playing for their contract. The NBA is so crazy. In the NFL, when you tank, you end up getting that pick. In the NBA, when you tank, you end up in a lottery, and sometimes you don't even get that pick. So it's just they've completely ruined the regular season in my mind. You're getting more than half the league into the postseason. What is the regular season worth anything? And then these teams are playing rookies. They're playing people just to lose on purpose here to get their rookie some minutes because they're not trying to be in the postseason. And so look at the 2024 NBA in my mind, all right? In the Western Conference, you have the Lakers, obviously. They want to win a title. It's LeBron, maybe not in his prime, but still playing at a really high level. The Warriors want to make a run. The Mavericks want to make a run. Thunder want to make a run. Suns want to make a run. Pelicans. That's about it right there. Like, there's more teams that want to tank right now, that want to go out and get that next piece, that Cooper Flagg, that Ace Bailey, that whatever other guy we're not even talking about right now that's going to be a star next season when they get to the NBA, when they get drafted. There are too many teams that want to tank right now, and it's not making the product fun to watch in my mind. I turn on an NBA game, and it just feels like it's not close. It's just not even a close game. That's what it feels like right now when I watch NBA basketball. And then we get to the Washington Wizards, and of course, the only thing I'm focused on for them is the rookies. I'll tell you a quick rookie report. Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr. That's the only things that matter to me for the 2024 Washington Wizards. That and the development of Bilal Coulibaly. And for the Wizards this season, I think you could argue there's five players on their roster that will probably be traded this season. Or, if not traded, they'll be rumored to be traded, and they're going to attempt to trade them. You should trade Jordan Poole this season, and I think Michael Winger and Will Dawkins will. You should trade Kyle Kuzma if he's a borderline all-star this year, and I think they might. They just extended Corey Kispert. They extended Denny Avdia and then traded him. Not saying they're going to trade Corey Kispert, but they could. You look through the entire – it's like I don't know what to get excited about with Washington Wizards basketball right now except for the future. The future could be fun, but when I watched that Celtics game one, I mean, the first quarter was good. Jordan Poole had 17. We were down by one. It was interesting. Then all of a sudden, we're down by double digits. And then it's 20. And then we lose by 20. And it feels like every basketball game I watch right now in the NBA, the final score ends up being a 15 to 20-point deficit. That's not the same in college basketball. College basketball is in a better place right now than the NBA, and I think as much as I hate the NIL and the transfer portal, it has made the competition a little better. Some smaller schools are able to compete, and I think inside of conferences like the ACC from the top down, teams are getting much better because of the transfer pool. But when you look at the NBA basketball right now, I mean, you look at the games last night, a lot of them were blowouts. I mean, the New York Knicks won by 25 points. Houston sucks. They won by 20. Chicago won by 11, right? I mean, why is this worth watching right now if all these games are blowouts? Golden State won by 41 points last night. Why am I watching NBA basketball when the regular season doesn't matter because 10 teams get in? I don't understand why they are keeping this. It was cool for the COVID year. It was a cute thing. Get rid of it. Go back to 8 teams. Make the regular season more important. And do something about teams that are tanking. Because it just doesn't feel right to have that many teams want to tank. You are looking at a league that has 20 teams in the playoffs when, in my mind, 12 teams want to tank. There's only 30 teams in the league overall. The math ain't mathing right there. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 1067 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. So I do want to get into the Commanders game against the Chicago Bears. But, of course, first we have to talk about the health of quarterback Jaden Daniels. And I know, just like probably you guys listening right now, when he went down last week, my heart like skipped a beat. I was struggling, and I thought we were going to lose the game. Then Marcus Mariota came in and scored 30 points, and we win 40-7, and the defense stepped up, and special teams stepped up, and we played our best game we played all season with complimentary football, and it was those reasons that I believe Washington can win Sunday with or without Jaden Daniels. We'll take your phone calls next, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 1067 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. If you're enjoying the show, check me out during the week on the free Odyssey app. Open up the app today. Anywhere you get your apps at, it's AUDACY, and just search 910 The Fan. You'll hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Let's go out to the phone lines right now. We've got John in Newburgh. What's up, John?
How you doing, Adam? I just wanted to apologize to you. A few months back, you apologized to me when you were wrong about David Mayo and Cody Barton, so I just wanted to apologize for being wrong about Jamin Davis.
All right, well, remind the audience, what was your hot take about Jamin Davis?
Well, I thought I liked what I saw in training camp, and I thought maybe he was going to do well as an edge rusher and maybe as a third or fourth linebacker. And I was very optimistic for him, but it didn't pan out. I remember you were very skeptical, and we had some good conversations about it. But either way, I was wrong, and I wanted to apologize to you.
Well, John, I don't think you need to apologize, but I do appreciate that. I will say, you know, I thought it was really cool. I thought it was a really cool story that Jamin made the transition and made the roster, right? And look, right, when I went to training camp, he didn't impress me. And the conversations I had with Craig Hoffman and David Harrison and the other reporters, it seemed like it was a numbers game, and he wasn't going to make the team. And so I think it is a really cool story that he did make the roster and that he played in a game or two. Then all of a sudden came Dante Fowler Jr. And we got to admit, we didn't see that coming, right? That huge pick six. I mean, he's just lived in the backfield the last few weeks with sacks. Now the other guys are starting to get healthier, like Cleveland Farrell, who will be back. So it just became a numbers game once again for Jamin Davis.
Right, and I think with Jamin, too, the past few years, it just seemed like he was never coached up by Ron or Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you never saw them talking to him, and it just, I don't know, I kind of felt sorry for him.
Yeah, no, I do, too. And, you know, I didn't even think, Max, did he get picked up on waivers by anyone? I didn't see that he did.
No, he didn't, as far as I know.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I've seen him block every Commanders fan on Twitter, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, John, look, there's no Jamin Davis now, but you'll get Cleveland Farrell back. You got Dante Fowler on the outside, and I think the defensive line has been sneaky really good for the Commanders this year.
Oh, my God, yes, Frankie Louvu and oh, yeah, very, very good. But also, real quick before you go, I agree with you on the NBA. And I'm telling you, I hope the NHL doesn't – it seems like they're looking at that. I hope they don't go to that format either.
Yeah. Good call, John. I appreciate you chiming in. Let's keep it going here.
Now.
Yep. Let's go to Gary in Rockville. Gary, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Good morning. First-time caller. So when they had the intentional walk, I knew something was going to happen, because anytime you intentional walk, the next player, I feel, is pissed off and he's going to try extra hard to do better, and then you saw the result that happened.
Yeah. But did you understand why they did the intentional walk? I mean, look, you got a guy with an injured ankle. He hadn't hit a home run since early September. You had an open base. I mean, that's just kind of what you do in baseball in that moment.
Yeah, I agree with it, but I knew something was going to happen for some reason.
Yeah. Would you agree with CBS? Was that the best Game 1 of a World Series you've ever seen?
Yes, and I've probably seen about 50 Game 1s.
Well, Gary, I appreciate you chiming in, man.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Yep. Phone lines are open if you want to chime in. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Max, I got to read this text that I got from a listener who wanted to chime in. His name is James. And he said, AWOD, will you just talk about Jaden's injury already? All right, let's get to it. Should we play the audio of Dan Quinn? Let's play the audio from Dan Quinn on JD's status as of Friday. And then I'll give you my take on whether Jaden should or shouldn't play on Sunday.
Jaden was able to practice today. We followed the plan, really, that we set at the start of the week. And for you guys, think of like crawl, walk, run, like we do with a lot of guys, you know, on the return back from injury. So Wednesday into that first piece, Thursday on the walk piece to go, and then Friday to get the run. And we will assess how he responds to the work that we did, you know, over the next 48 hours. But we really pushed it today. And playing quarterback, the movements, the skills, and also specific to the game plan, you know, going through the whole thing, you know, all parts of the field. So we're really following that process, and we'll let our eyes you know, decide how he responds over the next 48 hours. That'll guide us, and we'll make the best decision for him and for the team. And if he can't go, certainly we have all the confidence in Marcus. It was a good week, and we stayed true to the process for Jaden of what we were going to do from Wednesday to Thursday. And then we really wanted to push him today to see where he would be, and then let's see what the next, you know, how he responds to that kind of push to go. But it was a good day.
I love that answer from Dan Quinn, and I do think he's handled this really well this week. Should Jaden Daniels play Sunday? My honest opinion is no. It's a Chicago Bears game in October. This is not an Eagles game or a Cowboys game in December. That's why he should not play. You've got the Giants the following week. They're a divisional opponent. Winning divisional games is more important as of today than winning conference games. We want to get into the playoffs as a divisional winner, not into the playoffs as a wild card, which is why the Giants game is more important. So with that being said, that's why he should not play, but I'm not making that decision. And that's why I believe that if everybody that makes the decision is on the same page, then they can let him play. I'm actually trusting the coaching staff. I've never said that before as a Commanders fan. I'm trusting this front office. I've never said that before. And Jaden Daniels could play. I'm trusting the coaches. We can speculate. We can all have our own opinion. Right? I just told you mine is that he should not play because it's a random game against the Bears in October. All right. And believe me, I'm a big enough fan that I don't even like saying that. It pains me to say that because I'm a diehard fan who was a season ticket holder for 17 years that wants to see Jaden go out there and beat the living blank out of Caleb Williams and win 40-3 and prove everybody around the country that he was the best quarterback out of this year's draft and to get the team to go to 6-2 so we can start talking about Super Bowl and Lombardi in year one and be talking about the team that possibly could be the number one seed in the NFC if the Lions or the Vikings both lose this weekend, right? So that's the fan in me that wants to, like, oh, Jaden's good. Like, Jaden can play through anything. He's Superman. Put him out there. Let him run around and throw for 300 yards, run for 80. He's a beast. But, like, then you got to take a step back and realize that this is a long-term project and you can't be short-sighted. But that's why I said I believe that the decision-makers will make the right decision. Because in my mind, they really haven't done anything wrong yet this season. And so this is Josh Harris to Adam Peters to Dan Quinn to Cliff Kingsbury to Jaden Daniels all need to be in a room together or on a text chain or a Zoom, whatever it is, and all have a conversation. If they all feel that he's healthy and he's healed from this injury, then he should play. It needs to be a group decision. Don't let Jaden Daniels decide this. They made that issue. They made that mistake with Robert Griffin III. Don't let Jaden decide. He already told reporters yesterday he wants to play. Of course he wants to play. Right? Who wouldn't want Jaden Daniels to play when he's a five-time rookie of the week and looks like one of the best rookies in the history of the league? He's unfreaking real right now. Obviously, we want him to play, right? But should he play, I think the guys in that locker room that are important, the front office, the coaching staff, they need to be the ones that make this decision here. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Quinn said they ramped it up, right? All right. Let's see how he responds to that. If there's no pain Saturday and no pain Sunday morning, maybe he does play. The game plan is to run the ball. The game plan is to run the balls, to hand it to B-Rob, to hand it to Eckler. That's the most important thing. And so should Jaden Daniels play on Sunday? My answer is no. Could he play? I think he could play if the decision makers feel like he's healed. I think it's really interesting the way Dan Quinn had him kind of work out in the bubble, and then media is there. All three quarterbacks come out there. There's no Jaden. There's no Jaden, right? I love that. Hartman, Driscoll, Marcus Mariota's out there. No Jaden. Media walks away. They're not allowed to film anything. Nothing can leak to the Chicago Bears. Boom. Then all of a sudden, Dan Quinn said that Jaden did get work in, and they did core work, and they really pushed him. And he said it was a good week. They ramped it up. I like the way he said crawl, walk, run. Friday was apparently a run for Jaden Daniels. We'll see how his body responds to that. But, yeah, I think they've handled this really well. I saw someone say online that this reminded them of the way Belichick used to handle things. And Adam Peters worked with Bill Belichick in New England. So he knows certainly how to keep things close to the chest there and not let any leaks get out, right? I mean, think about Adam Schefter's tweet. Adam Schefter's more plugged in than anybody. He said, Jaden Daniels going to try to attempt to practice. He doesn't really even know. He's going to try to do this and that. I mean, that was just the weirdest tweet ever. They are handling this really well. And you can't tell me that this isn't a factor that's going to change the game. At least even 1%, Chicago has to think, do we prepare for Marcus or Jaden Daniels? Even 1% of an extra work that they have to put in could affect this game plan for the Bears and the game on Sunday. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 1067 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. You got the Hokies at home in Blacksburg taking on Georgia Tech. Pregame coverage starts at 10 a.m. So if you want to chime in, phone lines are open. You got to call in right now, 1-800-636-1067. What does Dan Quinn need to see to commit to Jaden Daniels starting on Sunday? I told you guys, if the decision makers in Washington believe it's the right move, then I'm fine with that. I'm trusting them for the first time maybe ever in my lifetime as a Commanders fan here. I like Adam Peters. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's made some really good moves. Obviously, my obsession with Frankie Luvu is why I like him so much. But look at Luvu, Wagner, Eckler. I mean, what we did in free agency, it's going to go down as historic, I feel like, especially if this team keeps winning games. 5-2 start, and it's all because of the rookies like Jaden Daniels and the free agents that we brought in. But what does Dan Quinn need to see to commit to Jaden Daniels? Let's take a listen.
I think the response to say that you're feeling good, you know, like that you're not in pain to do that. So it's like, how does your body respond from really getting pushed to go? And so I would say that's what we need to see. The testing is ongoing to get to that spot, but it was a good day.
We probably won't hear anything for the rest of today. Probably not even tomorrow morning. Max, is it possible that Jaden Daniels plays because it's a 4:25 game and not a 1 o'clock? Give him an extra 3 hours to rehab and work with the training staff and sleep in? I'm saying it could be a factor.
I think it's definitely possible. I mean, we're almost certainly not going to know anything until probably 1 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Let me just repeat for new listeners, though. I don't think he should play because it's a random October game against the Bears and the divisional games are more important. But obviously, the fan in me wants to see my boy back out there on the field and wants to see us crush the Chicago Bears. Let's go out to the phone lines here. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Kevin in Virginia. What's up, Kevin?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I had a comment and a question. The first was on last night. I think Aaron Boone lost that game for them. I don't understand. Sometimes these managers overmanage. And I think they should have just, you never put the winning run on second base. I don't understand that logic. Any major league player, I don't care if he's hurt a little, can get a base hit. Number one, he got a home run, but he had a righty in the pen he could have brought in for Betts.
Yeah.
I mean, Betts is a good player, no doubt. I mean, you want to try to avoid him if you can, but why put the runner on second for just a single to win? He's done this stuff in the past where he's had some head-scratching decisions in playoff games, and I just think it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, I don't think
it was a great game. Great game, though.
I think you're onto something, Kevin, for sure.
The other question I had is, could they suit up Jaden, start Marcus Mariota, and sort of see how the game's going, and bring him in, sort of like Willis Reed and the Knicks, you know, he's try to come back or something, or would they just make a decision, either he goes or he's not going?
Yeah, I think they end up making a decision whether he goes or not doesn't go. I mean, I've had people say to me, well, what if you have him as the emergency quarterback in case the first two go down, or you just sit him for the first half of the game and see how it's playing out? I think that's unfair to Marcus Mariota. I think it's unfair to the guys in the locker room. You need to let them know who's the starting quarterback, and they need to have all the trust in him, and they need to be fully committed to the game plan if you're going with that guy. So I don't think it's the right move to just pull JD5 off the bench if all of a sudden they're down 14-3 or something like that. Let's go to Jimmy Loudmouth in Herndon. Jimmy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Adam, I can't agree with you enough about the free agent signing. I think that the free agents have been great, and I think an unsung hero for the Commanders has been our center, Tyler Biadasz. Mm. I think that he has come in and just been a great source of knowledge. He played 4 years for Dallas. Look at how bad Dallas looks this year. And I think it's mainly because Biadasz is no longer there. They have new coaches in there. They re-signed Micah Parsons. Oh, they extended CeeDee Lamb. Ooh, big, big. But they didn't take care of their center. And we went in and got him. And he's been great for us. And if we hand the ball off to Brian Robinson, and if we pound this Chicago defense, we'll be just fine. Because then you don't get into these third and long situations where Montez Sweat comes around the edge and causes all the havoc that we know he can cause. So I think if we have Biadasz and Brian Robinson, Jaden Daniels or no, we're going to be just fine. That's the way I look at it.
I like that thought. And, James, let me tell you something here that I love about Dan Quinn, right? So we love Adam Peters and the moves he made in free agency. Dan Quinn does a bit that gets me juiced, gets me fired up every week. I'm literally searching Nikki Javala's Twitter, John Kime's Twitter, every Friday to hear from Dan Quinn on the week-by-week, game-by-game captains. Game 8 against the Chicago Bears, he named 3 new captains. Every week he does this. I love this because I feel like it gives the guys in the locker room like an extra thing of motivation. Like, oh, if I play great this week, I'm going to be a captain next week. If I work my butt off in practice and show off to the coaches, I'm going to be a captain this week. You've already had Jaden Daniels be a captain, right? The first, that was game 4, the Browns game. And, man, the first time they made him captain, he made the most of it. You've had your guy, Tyler Biadasz, be a captain, and he had some really great blocks. Last week, it was Sam Cosmi at right guard. This captain this week on the offense is Nick Allegretti at left guard. So just like you think the big game plan is Biadasz, I think it's Allegretti as well. It is the ground and pound. It's running the football up the middle, the interior of the offensive line on first down for 4 yards a carry, and let Cliff Kingsbury open up the playbook. And if it is second and 6 situations for Washington, I don't think it matters if it's Jaden or Marcus Mariota. Cliff Kingsbury is so creative, they're going to be able to move the football.
I couldn't agree more. I think you're absolutely right. I think the incentive that Dan Quinn is creating with naming guys captains is just a little extra edge, and it's also like, hey, we're all professional football players here. No one is better than the other. Anyone can come out and have a great game because we all know how to play the game of football. Look at Zach Ertz. Looks like a new man. He didn't look very good when he was playing for Arizona. No offense to the guy. He looks rejuvenated. Everybody who has come over to the Commanders and the guys who are still here from the years before, they've all bought in. They're all playing hard. Terry McLaurin still looks like Terry McLaurin. Everything looks good.
Good call, Jimmy. I appreciate you chiming in. So Nick Allegretti, your offensive captain for this week. Jeremy Chinn, your defensive captain. I really thought he played well last week. I think he's improved as he's gotten more comfortable in Joe Witt Jr.'s schemes. I think, obviously, Dante Fowler's getting most of the headlines from last week, and Frankie Louvu is like a fan favorite. But Jeremy Chinn has come in to replace Cam Curl, and I think he's been a positive replacement. And I think he's been really good at the point of attack there at the line of scrimmage, stopping running plays or hitting screen passes and things like that. Mike Sainer still was really good at that against the Carolina Panthers. And Joe Witt Jr.'s schemes are really much communication based. And when I watch the film on that, that's what you see. When the communication's not there, they give up an explosive play. When the communication is there and it's on point, they get a tackle for a loss. You know, for example, Mike Sainer still let his wide receiver go because the communication was there and the safety stepped up to guard his guy, and he just jumped into the backfield and made a tackle for loss on Sanders, who was coming around on an end around there. That's the kind of communication that you need, and that's the communication you're going to need to beat the Chicago Bears on Sunday. So my final thought is Marcus Mariota plays and leads the Commanders to a 27-23 victory. Caleb Williams will have a chance to drive down the field, but will be picked off, and that's how the Commanders get the win and move to 6-2 and stay undefeated at home this season. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Go Commanders, go! I'll see you next Saturday right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.